Welcome to Weber Wenzel Legal Insights. With over 150 years of experience and deep industry knowledge, Weber Wenzel is the leading full-service law firm on the African continent.
Good day and welcome to all of you who are listening in. My name is Johan Willefew. I'm a partner at Weber Wenzel. I specialize in employment law and I will be hosting today's panel discussion, which is related to issues affecting foreign employees or expats working in South Africa. This is a fairly complex subject. It touches on various aspects of immigration law, labor law and tax law. And to help refine and focus our discussion, we'll have a question and answer session, and we'll do it on three distinct topics. The first session will cover whether expat workers fall under South African employment law and various aspects relating to those contracts that you enter into with an expat. In the second session, we'll pose common questions around work visas and the employment contracts. And in the third and final discussion, we will look at restructuring employment contracts for expats working in South Africa. Now, to guide us through, we have a distinguished panel here, and we're joined by three experts. The first one is Andreas Grenzel. He's the Chief Executive Officer of IBN Immigration Solutions. That's a company that provides specialist immigration services here in South Africa, also in other African countries. And they serve both multinationals and private individuals. From Weber Wenzel's side, we have June Chong. She's a partner in our tax practice and has broad experience in tax issues relating to employment as well. Kirsten Iser is the other partner. She's a specialist like me in employment law. Right. To move into our first topic, and that is now expat workers and whether South African employment law applies to them, as well as various aspects of their contracts, we'll pose a number of questions. First one to you, Andreas. When, in fact, does immigration law apply to an employee, and when does he need to have a work permit?
Well, thank you very much, Johan. So I think the first important point to understand is really that immigration law really applies for foreigners being in South Africa. So, that's a very important distinction. And when do you need a work permit? Well, that is connected to the first answer, really, for any foreigner who works in the Republic. And then the second question I often get asked is really, what is work? Work is actually defined, and to make it simple, basically it's defined as any activity in line with your usual profession or business. The important point here to note is that it doesn't matter if you get paid or not. So the remuneration part is not important for the definition of work.
Now, what type of work permits are available to people who come to work in South Africa, Andreas?
Johan, so South Africa has actually quite a few options. Compared to other African countries, our immigration legislation is fairly complex. So we have four main ones, and then there's a couple of other ones which also allow people to work. So let me start maybe from a duration point of view. So we have a short-term work visa called the Section 11-2, and that is really valid usually for 90 days, and it can be extended. So that's the number one. Then we have the typical intercompany transfer situation, assignee situation, which is obviously well known throughout the world. That is issued for up to 4 years, which is quite a nice duration. In Africa, usually, other work permits are valid for 2 years. And then the last, the next one would be the critical skills work visa. These are for the highly skilled ones. South Africa has a list, and it's looking at professions, and if you fall into this profession, then the critical skills might be, applicable to you. And the last option of real work permits is the general work visa, and that is quite comprehensive and requires a local market testing and involvement of the Department of Labor. So these are our four main ones, and then just, there are another three options. So just for the sake of being comprehensive here, you are allowed to work on a study visa. And then also, if you're married to a South African or a life partner of a South African, there's actually the possibility to have a spousal visa with an endorsement to work, which also allows you to work. And then lastly, for a couple of special companies, there's a corporate worker visa, which is also a work visa, but that is really applicable to certain companies. Yeah, this is really the overview of South Africa.
Thank you, Andreas. Let's just use an example. Say, for instance, a South African company wants to employ a foreigner, Mr. X, but Mr. X never comes to South Africa and he never works in South Africa, and he remains in his or her country. Now, does Mr. X actually need a work visa?
No. So the short answer is no, because the person doesn't touch South Africa. And as I just explained before, the work visa is required for people within the Republic, and immigration connects usually status to within the Republic. So the answer is no.
But before he's issued with that visa, he would like to start rendering services to the company in South Africa. Is this permissible?
Well, Johan, this is that's a tricky one. So that's a difficult question. Okay, so you asked me for a situation of an intercompany transfer. Now, here it's very important to understand that usually a requirement in the intercompany transfer visa is that you are employed within a group and you're currently employed by the sending entity, and you're basically being assigned to South Africa and you start working once you're in South Africa. So you can't interrupt that employment relationship within the group with a consulting contract. So in terms of an intercompany transfer, that's not possible, in my opinion. However, if you're a new employee and you're being localized, so you're applying for a critical skills work visa, then I do think it could be thought of to put a consultation contract before, because you're an external, you're first a consultant, and again, your employment relationship really starts and your immigration duties really start when you come to South Africa. So my answer would be, for an intercompany transfer, no. For the critical skills, I do think it's you can think about it. But in practice, often it doesn't really matter, because you apply, you submit the work visa, and then obviously it takes 2 to 4 weeks at the most missions to be issued with a work visa. And most international assignments, or even hires, really, I mean, you start working really when you're in the country. But yeah, I think I answered your question. Thanks, Jan.
Thank you, Andreas. Right, let's move to Kirsten. Kirsten, just explain to us, you know, with expat contracts and when they come to South Africa, how are those contracts structured from a legal perspective?
Hi, Johan. So the contract of employment for an expat needs to be the same as the contract of employment for a South African. The legal requirements are the same. What makes it different, though, is that it must contain a condition that the individual must have the necessary work permit to work in South Africa.
Thanks, Kirsten. Now, you know, in addition, you know, if you have someone who's in South Africa and an intra-company work permit, is it legal to offer him a full employment contract? What happens to his original contract with the home country that he has signed abroad?
So in South Africa, we do acknowledge dual employment. So it would be legal to make the offer of employment. You might find, though, that the foreign entity with which he had the original contract of employment would look to terminate that relationship, and they would have to do that in terms of their local law.
Andreas, anything to add to that?
Maybe just, I do know that some countries, for instance, Germany, they are able to pause the initial employment relationship, and that kind of, you know, comes alive again once the expat goes back. But that's the only thing I can really add to that.
Thanks. Well, let's go to tax. June, maybe you can just explain to us, you know, on expats who are on the payroll in South Africa. In what country can one pay the salary and benefits? What are the tax issues? Can you explain for us, please?
Expats coming to South Africa are usually not tax residents in South Africa. Therefore, as a general principle, non-tax residents are only subject to tax in South Africa on a source basis, meaning for services rendered in South Africa. Having said that, if an expat is seconded or on a work term contract for a fair amount of length, then usually the host country or South Africa will also place these expats on their payroll. Kirsten mentioned a little bit about the dual employment, and one of the criteria of ICT visas is that the home country has the expat continually or suspended on their home country payroll. Now, in certain types of employment agreements, it is still necessary to have this expat on the home country payroll for a variety of reasons. For example, retirement contributions in home country.
So just to understand, do they then have to pay tax and UIF here in South Africa, the South African company, on behalf of that particular expat?
Yes. So once these individuals are on the South African payroll, they will then be subject to the South African Income Tax Act, 4th schedule and 7th schedule. So that's employees' tax, which is withheld on the taxable earnings which they earn. And the taxable earnings will include any fringe benefits, which is granted to them, accommodation, for example. And the fringe benefits will be in terms of the 7th schedule of the South African Income Tax Act.
This brings us to the end of this session. It's been an interesting session, and we definitely like to invite you to our next sessions where we will discuss further topics relating to issues affecting expats working in South Africa. I'd like to thank Andreas from IBN Immigration Solutions for his contribution, and then Kirsten Eiser and also June Chong from Weber Wenzel for sharing their insights, and for our listeners for joining us. If there are any matters on which you need specific advice, please contact us at Weber Wenzel or at IBN Immigration Solutions. This has been a Weber Wenzel Legal Insight podcast. Our executive producer is Paula Yeowens, and this podcast is produced for Weber Wenzel by Volume. This is Johan Willifier signing off. Thank you for listening.
You have been listening to Weber Wenzel Legal Insights. You can find and subscribe to the podcast on all major platforms. For more expert legal insights and updates, visit weberwenzel.com.